We've been in a series called Unshockable Love. We have a book. A lot of you are reading the book. Isn't it a life-changing book? Isn't it helpful? And each week, I've been another message wrapped around the concepts that we're growing in. How many of you feel like you are growing in your hearts in a new capacity to understand not only the depth of God's love, but be a vessel for it? Today's message title is Seeing Through the Eyes of Jesus. I want to read, and you're right on the front of your notes there, is a passage, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into,'" everybody say, his harvest, his harvest. There was a man on the subway in New York, and his kids were really unruly. They were just wreaking havoc, literally, to the annoyance of everybody around. He was just sitting there, and everybody was the kids were just gone. You know, it's like he was kind of staring at the floor, couldn't do anything with them. And they were just nuts. And everybody was staring at them, looking at them. One person leans over and says, "Pretty nice, you know, sensitive attitude. Your kids are rather active, aren't they?" And the guy looks up, he looks over at him and says, "Well, we just left the hospital where their mother has died, and they really don't know, I don't think they know how to handle it." Now, everybody in there who heard those words were looking with a critical judgment, and then one moment after that, they had their hearts moved because they saw the real story. And everybody has a backstory, and we are so quick to judge. When you got crazy, there's a reason. And there's a backstory that leads you to crazy. And you don't know that, what that story is. I know when I'm getting on the interstate, and it's, you know, everybody on the interstate's going 70, and I'm behind a person going 35, and it looks like everybody's got to watch out for this person, because we're going to... And when I pull up beside them, I realize 9 out of 10 times it's an elderly person. They're just saying, "You're going to kill us all, you're going to kill..." You know, but... Then you pull up and you realize, "Hey, Grandpa, hey, Grandma, you've earned the right to all of us to slow down." But there's a backstory. There's a backstory. We need to be patient with people because of what's going on, right? Even the Lord said to Samuel when they were bringing up the different sons of Jesse, you know, and... Lord says, "No, don't look on the appearance or the height of the stature, because I've rejected, you know, this one. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Aren't you glad the Lord looked on your heart? The Lord looks on the heart. He knows. He knows the depth of need that you have. He understands you. So give everybody a break. Treat the others in the way the Lord's treated you. That's the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. You have been deeply loved. Therefore, deeply loved. Peter's the one that says that. Love one another deeply. He throws in words like with affection and cares, like, "Ew, gooey. Peter, you're so gooey. You didn't even embrace Jesus at the Last Supper. It was John. He should be gooey." John, out of 49 times it says to one another's, 49 times, 15 of them is John saying, "Love one another, love one another." A couple of them is Peter, but 15 out of the 49. The rest of the 44 are serve one another, honor one another. Everything else that represents love. Some of them are do not grumble at one another. You know, some of them are the don't do's. But the one another passages, there's 49 different statements, and they all show us how to deeply love one another. Isn't that great? And this is a... How many of you figured out so far? I'll never end up not saying this somehow. How many of you found out that the life that God's called you to live is pretty much impossible without Him doing it in you. And so Jesus, I want to look at this real quick. This when it says in the old King James, says that He was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered. Weary and scattered. How many have been weary and scattered? Can't hold it together. Something's not right. It's not working through very well. This other one, harassed and helpless. I love the Amplified version. It goes like this. And when He saw the throngs, He was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered. And then He has in parentheses in the Amplified version, harassed, distressed, dejected, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's the nature of our culture today. People are making all kinds of bad choices. And the Message Bible says, and Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. And when He looked over the crowds, His heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, He said. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. The Lord knows how many times you've tried to improve in an area and how many times you failed. Are you aware of that? The Lord understands the depth of your personal need. He knows when you come up short. He knows when you aren't doing it. And what does He do? He encourages you, doesn't He? Because condemnation is not from the Lord. Recently in South Carolina, there was a young white man who went to a Bible study. And he sat there for an hour in a Bible study with people of a different skin color, a darker tone than him. And then out of making racist comments, he shot 9 of them. But something remarkable happened in that community. People who had just had a loved one shot in powerful emotional pain and distraught out of their soul said to this young man, "We forgive you. You're forgiven. You need the love of Jesus." Other places in our country, whipping up and whipping up and fight and stirring and race baiting and all that kind of stuff. But in that community, the gospel was there. Let's make the gospel be in this community like that community. Let's be a part of anything in our community that resonates with the power of the gospel like that. Amen? Because God doesn't look on the outward, He looks on the inward. And we have brothers and sisters that are serving the Lord in this community. We need to be unified. Are you there? And we shall. We're going to work on that. And I just feel like I did it. Hallelujah. There's points on the paper, but I think we got there. How many of you? Let me go ahead and mention this. Just lean in and listen to these words. Listen. The Christian faith has not been designed to create a new superior kind of comfort zone in which we can remain unchanged. How many of you have heard that? The kingdom of God is not designed to be some new superior comfort zone for you so you can remain unchanged. Did you hear that over this side? The kingdom of God is not created to be some kind of a new comfort zone where you can remain unchanged. How many of you ever heard of new wine? This is really what it's called, what we're called to do. We're called to drink and be transformed ongoingly. And there's always going to be a new need for a new wineskin. Let me just get this in so I can. There's in the passage in Matthew 9, the Pharisees said, "The disciples of John are fasting, but you guys are not fasting." And what happened is when John stepped on the scene, it was a new wine. John steps on the scene. John the Baptist steps on the scene, a new wine, okay? Repent! And there's a movement, and there's disciples everywhere, and they're fasting and praying, and it's the right season for that, right? And then Jesus comes, and He takes up the repent for the kingdom of God's hand, but then John says, "I must decrease, and He must increase," right? New wine, there's a new wine, there's a new way now. There's a new way, there's a new change coming. See, now Jesus has come, and it's all different now, okay? And so He says, "How come you guys aren't fasting?" He says, "Well, you see, the guests don't. When the guests of the bridegroom or the attendants of the bridegroom, when the bridegroom's here, we don't fast." And He brings up the idea that there's coming a day of a wedding. Isn't that great? And they tell two more metaphors. One's about unshrunk cloth, not going on other new cloth going on other well, it'll tear and rip. But this the main one is this that the new wine and have to have a new wineskin. And get this is amazing to me. It's different now, and there's a new wineskin needed. And there's a new wine flowing. And it's our role to keep drinking of the new things that God's doing and being transformed. Everybody say sanctification. Now that, see, last week we talked about justification. That every single one of us, the only thing we have to stand on, because we are what? We're weak, ungodly sinners who are enemies of God. Except that God has decreed us through the power of the blood of the cross, reconciled us to himself. You don't have any merit of anything to stand on apart from what Jesus has already done. It's all him. To the degree that you think you have merit to stand on his degree, you'll judge everybody else. Get rid of that. You have nothing to stand on except the pure decree from God that says, because you've received my Son in his fullness, I now pour out my fullness in you and to decree you in right relationship with me. The next thing is, now keep drinking, because I'll change the attitudes of your heart. I'll cause you to become something you never could become and go through the transformation. Amen? Okay, so, number one, seeing through the eyes of Jesus. Number one, every sinner can be saved. Every sinner can be saved. What we have in Matthew chapter 9, we have two incidents right up the front. One of them is a bunch of people bring a paralytic to Jesus. He's paralyzed. How many of you had sin paralyze you? He's paralyzed. And he has some friends who have faith. And they come and they bring their sick friend. Pharisees are always around. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And they're shocked. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are that you can forgive sins? And Jesus really shrewdly says, well, what's it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. How many of you know it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because you can't see them go? To prove that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins, rise up and walk. And he gets up. And what paralyzed the man no longer paralyzes him. Because sin can paralyze you. And Jesus reaches to someone who is completely paralyzed and forgives their sins and then decrees to them, you can make a change right now if you'd like to. Would you like to rise up and walk out of here? And they said yes. But I said, Jesus saves sinners. And there may be some areas of your own soul that you're still paralyzed in because you haven't received the fullness of forgiveness. Anybody understand what I'm shooting at here? There's areas that can be locked up and non-functional and you don't know what to do. But Jesus comes to you tenderly and says, there's a way out. I'm forgiving you of your sins. And maybe you've beat yourself up over and over and over about this area. And you're just stuck. And you can't move and you need other people. But the Lord is saying to you today, receive the forgiveness. Who are you to not receive the forgiveness if the Son of God is offering forgiveness? Who are you to stand in the way of the forgiving power of Jesus? You can feel like you failed because maybe things aren't right in your family life. And the Lord says, I forgive you. Receive it. If I'd have done better at this, if I'd have done better at that, how many carry those kind of burdens? If and the Lord says, what if you trust me completely? Let's try another scenario. What if you trust me? What if you allow my forgiveness to wash over all these areas of your own insufficiencies? How many of you know, I jumped past the verse, but it says this, not that we are sufficient in ourselves, 2 Corinthians 3:5-6, not that we're sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. What I see with this paralyzed guy is I see that There's some people, like you would see, that you would never hang around with too much. I don't know that many paralyzed people that I hang out with. But I'm open to, because through the eyes of Jesus, I'm open to see. And it's not to walk into a situation and go, oh, that guy's paralyzed. There's sin there. That's dumb. There's all kinds of reasons of all kinds of things. So people who, there's other ways people are paralyzed as well. All kinds of addictions can hold people in places where they can't move forward. Is that right? But the fullness of forgiveness from the cross of Jesus, by the power of His blood, reconciling us to God, changes all this. The next story about every sinner can be saved is a rich guy. And the minions could be with him because he's despicable. One version calls him Levi, another version calls him Matthew, but he's a tax collector, and they're the most despicable, ultra-vile sinners, but they're rich. Listen to this. Your sin can leave you mangled or rich, but you're still without God. And Jesus gets into the middle of both situations. And when you see through the eyes of Jesus, you see the value of individuals no matter what condition you find them in. Are you there? And Matthew comes to a place. This is why I know it's even though Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to come to know Him, to get into heaven. Here's the point. Matthew, follow me. Matthew got up from the table and followed.
Wow.
Because the money didn't do it for him. Money can't fill that spot. Every sinner can be saved. Number two, every sick person can be healed. When you're looking through the eyes of Jesus, the hope is eternal, and the hope is right here for the temporary. The hope is there. Every sick person can be healed. There's always faith required in each of these endeavors, isn't that right? You and I have our personal testimonies of being sick. I have mine of being sick and learning the way of the Lord. I'm not going to take a lot of time on this. But there's just the next flow of from 18 to 26, there's two people to get healed. And then 27 to 31 in Matthew 9, two people to get healed. The first two, of course, in another passage, it says Jairus. He comes and he's beseeching Jesus to come to his house because his daughter is sick. And by the time Jesus gets there, he's dead. On the way, there's a woman with an issue of blood and she's pressing through the crowd. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, and that these things happen. Jesus is walking, bang, somebody, the virtue comes out of him. Who touched me? Faith is required. Not begging. Faith. Can I go ahead and tell you that begging is okay, just to empty your heart from all of its anguish? To pour out your complaint is just fine with the Lord. But there be some point at which you come to a place, because God's never going to cast you off just for your desperate need. But there's going to come a place He's going to say, well, do you believe I can do it or not? And you come to the place of, you know what? You've got to do it in me. And somehow, Jesus had to get, when he got to the house, he had to get all those unbelievers out of the house. He had to get the environment of faith. So he had just a few select people that knew whatever Jesus says works. And they stayed with him. He says, little girl, get up. She came out of her state of death. These other guys, these blind fellows, they're calling out, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. And when he entered the house, the blind man came to him. Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes. According to your faith, be it done. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus did work, but he tried. Sternly warned them. See that no one hears about, no one knows about this. And they went out right away and spread it all over the place. It's kind of hard for that. It's like, I don't want any more pressure today. And then the next thing you know, they're like, look, I can see. I want to throw a little thing in here. Some people get a hold of the Lord just enough to where they become, They don't follow through. I've dealt with this. You've dealt with this. Where we just are more, unfortunately, judgmental than we ever need to be. It'd be like Bartimaeus beating another blind man because he can't see. After blind Bartimaeus just got his sight, and you just had a revelation of who Jesus is, and now you're beating on sinners for being sinners. It's just wrong. You need to repent of getting mad at sinners for sinning. Last time I looked, that's what we do. Sons of Adam and Eve, all sin, make bad decisions, do court rulings, mess up nations. But the gospel of Jesus is still the only hope of the whole universe. Yes. Everybody say love rules from God's throne. Is that right? Hallelujah. It's the last one. Every bound person can be freed. Every bound person can be freed. I love this passage. As they were going along, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. I want to say this. I'm looking at this now. There's two levels of this going on. Number one is that the demon made this guy where he couldn't talk. But I want to go ahead and tell you, bound people don't say anything worth hearing. Is that true? In other words, you wish they wouldn't talk. Are you right? Think of your points of bondage when you're always speaking out of those areas where you were controlled by stuff. You didn't say anything worth anything, did you? Everybody said, we wish you were mute because you're killing the faith in the room. Killing the love in the room because everything's spoken out of that place. And it says, and when the demon had been cast out, Jesus takes this thing and he casts it out. And the mute man spoke. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't Jesus wonderful how he does this stuff? And the crowds marveled and said, never has there been anything seen like this in Israel. And we're coming toward the end here. But I want to say this and we'll sum all this up for you. I want to ask you and I to see differently than we've ever seen before. I want us to look at the community differently. I want us to look at individuals differently. And know in your heart, is every person going to be saved? Probably not. What's God's intention? That none should perish. And our role is to represent the none should perish heart. I'll tell you what. Why don't we just create a little altar in our right here where we're sitting before the Lord and inquire of the Lord to open our eyes and see as he sees. Because your hopeless, your situation was hopeless at one point. You might be... have a series of hopeless situations where you cannot see how God could do anything. But that's you in the way. That's just you in the way. Would you build a little altar in your heart and bring that need before God and offer it to Him? There may be someone in your life that needs salvation. There may be someone in your life that needs healing. There may be someone in your life that needs freedom that only Jesus can provide. I'm inviting you to see through the eyes of Jesus and ask Him right now to give you His eyes, to see them the way He sees them. No matter what's happened to you in the process, I'm asking that He would give you His eyes and you see people the way Jesus sees them. Those closest to you, those around you, those in the community, those that are far away from you. And I feel the Lord in all of this. Because there's no hope except we see the way the Lord sees. Would you just pray with me under your breath there? Just pray in this. Just invite the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Would you go ahead and just begin, Lord, help me see the way you see. Just make that your prayer. Help me see through your eyes. I give you my eyes. I give you my heart. I give you my energies. I give you my life. I repent. Say to the Lord, I repent for a judgmental attitude. I repent for not thinking that people can be transformed the way you see that they can be. Help me to see behind the situation. Help me to understand what's really going on in people. Help me to have more patience and understanding with people. I have this other thought. I want to pray it or say it, and then let me address this in the spirit of prayer. The Lord is inquiring of some of you to open up and express to Him the areas that you're deficient in, that you've covered, because that's cutting off your sense of hope. If you'll be vulnerable before the Lord and say, I'm struggling here, then the Lord can get involved in your heart and give you a hope that you've never had. Your inability to come to the Lord and ask Him to bring healing into you is what causes the healing flow of Jesus to stop. He needs your heart. Surrender to Him. Would you surrender right now? Best you can. Holy Spirit, come and help each heart. Surrender. I'm going to just invite you throughout this day and this week to surrender stuff that hinders you from seeing the way Jesus sees. It might be attitudes, it might be just other needs formed against people or whatever. I'm asking you to surrender your heart freshly to the Lord. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on these cherished people of yours and cause them to have hearts like you and eyes like you as never before. Spirit of the Lord, come right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. This is a tender place. It's a tender time. The reason I know is because this is my testimony. We've said yes to a vision bigger than our capacity. And in making that decision to follow the Lord, I personally have been being stretched beyond my former ability. I love deeper, and I'm more aware of my inadequacies than ever before. And it causes me to have a dependence on the Lord like I've never had before. I am less quick to judge. How many of you have been really quick to judge? You're like really fast on the draw. Lord says, I'm just one to take the gun right out of your hand. Do you realize there's nothing wrong? In fact, it's included in received well when you just love people. But I'm afraid. Why? Perfect love casts out fear. Let the love of the Lord come into your heart and take you places. Is anybody here resonating with anything that I'm saying right now? I feel like we're just on the verge of something massive. Like a shift of the Lord saying, I'm releasing you out of the burden of your past to be something that you constructed in your mind that you're supposed to be. I'm smashing that. And I'm giving you complete and total acceptance of who you are in front of me, He says. And then you don't have to try to be something on your own terms that you're really not. And be empowered by the Lord and say, I'm this. Look, it's okay. Look, the Lord has indeed said that we are saints. But not by our own power or strength at all. But there you decree from heaven. A saint is a person who's in his family.
Come on up, honey. Honey, you were talking about that surrender. I don't know about you, but life's kind of crept up on me in places. And I think I took on burdens and took on responsibilities that I really didn't need to do. Something very powerful. Now, he said during the week as you go home, say, Lord, I surrender that. Isn't that what he said? Yes, I give you that. How about doing business right here today? There are people. You know, the Bible says you confess your sin to God and you're forgiven. You know, but if you confess your sins to one another, you're healed. I don't know about you, but when I start taking on stuff that now is way too much for me to carry, wasn't my responsibility in the first place, it injures me and I get hurt. Okay. Do business today. Just come up and say, will you agree with me? I'm surrendering this, this, and this. Trust me, they're all older up there and they won't remember what you said anyway. Okay.
Which is a good thing.
Which really is a good thing. Except for Amanda. Okay. But she's sworn to total secrecy. We really don't care because we've all been there. All right? Okay? So this is a safe place. Do business today. Don't leave here without saying, I'm gonna agree with somebody and I'm dropping this load today. I'm surrendering this today. Can you do that? You're safe. It's been a good morning, hasn't it?
Let's go ahead and do stand together for a moment here.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now let's come. Let's come. Come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus.